Hey everybody, and welcome to Trans Sister Radio, a story this far podcast that's broadcasting everything's trans. I'm your trans sister, Erin.
And I'm your trans sister, Athena.
And that only took one take, right, Athena?
Yes, first time, every time, all the time, there is no recording evidence to prove otherwise.
Don't know what you're talking about. There's exactly one take, and there won't be anything at the end of this episode where...
You know what's going to be maybe really awkward is if we say something really funny that ends up being better at the end of the episode, and then like everyone is like, oh yeah, there was definitely only one take because it would have been at the end of the episode if there were more than one take, right?
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying it could happen. You never know.
So, what are we talking about this week?
We're doing a bit of a different episode than we've done in the past. We've both kind of had a crazy couple of weeks. With lots of stuff happening. So this time, instead of kind of talking about a specific topic, we're going to talk more about what's kind of happening right now in our lives. Both of us are pretty far in the process of transition at this point, so we figured an episode just talking about how our weeks have been and what's our life like might maybe give you an idea of what your life might look like in terms of your transition progress and stuff like that.
Some of the things in the day-to-day life that being trans does affect, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, if you are a transgender, it affects all aspects of your life, but we are focusing on instances that are a little more notable in one way or another. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just some stories from what's been going on recently and our life, so stuff like that. It's a little bit different. We might do these more often, not like every week, but... more often maybe is like a subtopic. We're kind of testing it out. If you like it, let us know. If you don't like it, also let us know.
Smash that like button, subscribe, hit that bell notification icon, and comment down below with your favorite flavor of macaroni.
Clearly the answer to that question is every flavor of macaroni. Like, how can you not like macaroni?
That's true.
It's just not.
I was down at Costco yesterday. Just getting coffee for the first time in like a month, and they had the most amazing little macaroni sample, and I freaking loved it.
Oh, anyway. Man, I haven't had macaroni and cheese in so long. You're making me hungry, and I just had dinner.
I just had dinner. All right, Athena, start us off. Tell us your stories.
Yeah, well, I'm going to just kind of talk about some stuff. This has been a shit couple of weeks for me. There's a lot of stuff that, like, well, actually, yeah, I guess technically trans affected literally everything this week.
Yep.
Mine are really depressing, so I hope you have some fun ones.
I have positive, yes.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Did I have any positive ones? I don't remember. Probably. and I just don't remember them. They've been kind of drowned out. Well, like, the one that... I'm going to just go with the one that's on my mind most recently, because it happened literally today, which is I got laid off from work. Yay. Yeah. So, like, this wouldn't have been as much of a problem as it is right now if it weren't for my SRS surgery, actually. I wasn't really expecting to get laid off. My boss made no indications of it that it was going to happen until literally today. I was literally getting ready for work. He hadn't spoken to me all weekend, even though I'd sent him multiple texts and called him several times trying to get through to him. And he hadn't told me when I should be in. And then he told me to call him today and said, hey, I don't have any work for you to do. I'm going to go ahead and lay you off. And if work shows up, I'll see if you can come back. But at least this way you can claim unemployment. But it's like, today was supposed to be my first day back at work after 6 weeks off from surgery, and since I was a new employee at the time the surgery happened, I don't have any medical leave, I wasn't getting paid, so I basically had 6 weeks of being unemployed that I didn't know I was unemployed, and my boss didn't tell me any sooner that I was gonna get laid off. Like, I kind of had a bad feeling going into this weekend that I was gonna get laid off, because, like, it's really weird normally, like, my boss normally answers texts immediately and calls immediately. So the fact that he didn't was like, okay, this is starting to get kind of weird. But yeah, that happened today. That sucks.
I'm really sorry to hear that. As you're getting ready for work, that is like probably the shittiest time to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, the advantage was, like, there were a few things that were advantages, like, because it was while I was getting ready for work, I was already up early than normal, so, like, I didn't have, like, I was up and going, you know, at 6:30 in the morning instead of my usual, like, 11 in the morning. So it did force me to get out of bed earlier. It meant that, like, I was done with a lot of stuff I needed to do earlier. But it's still, like, why didn't he tell me last week instead of this week? Why couldn't he have told me, like, 2 weeks ago so I could have started looking for jobs?
Well, I agree.
So now, actually, though, the more I think about it, like, there is one advantage to him, and I don't know if you thought about this, to him not telling me until today, which is that to get unemployment benefits, you have to file within the first week you're unemployed. And if he told me 2 weeks ago, I would have been both unemployed and unable to seek work because I was on medical leave.
Right, right.
And to get unemployment, you have to be willing and able to get work and also unemployed for no fault of your own. So, like, by him waiting to tell me and me, it being today, I now qualify for unemployment, which if he told me last week, like, I would have qualified for unemployment by the time I got it if he told me last week, but if he told me 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have qualified. Only good thing. I don't know if he thought about that.
I can't imagine that that's just, like, spur of the moment thing, because it seems like he tried to set you up as best he could since he couldn't, like,
he also made it sound very much like, because basically what happened, I kind of have been worried about this job for a while because, like, the job pays really well. I got $17.50 an hour. So, like, it was pretty good pay compared to what I've gotten paid in the past, and it was a pretty nice job overall in terms of what I was doing. Like, I didn't super like what I was doing, but, like, it paid the bills and it was a lot better than other options.
Yeah.
But the work is based on contracts, and when you get, like, because it's a job that requires you to survey telephone poles and then do measurements from the data collected in the field from those telephone poles, like, if bad weather happens, those contracts don't come through. If he's not able to get the contracts from the power companies, then no contracts for work. And so, like, at the start of this year, because of terrible weather, winter, and all that stuff, we were out of work for, like, 2 months. So he burned through a lot of his cash flow because we didn't have any contracts as the business, but he wanted to keep us on and pay us our hourly wage through the hourly wage through the holidays. So he kept us on full time, even though we weren't doing anything. Like, I literally got paid for 2 months of full time video gaming because there was nothing to do. Yeah. But because he'd burned through those cash reserves, what happened was he got a contract that was supposed to last for literally, like, 2 years and pay him constantly, or pay his business constantly over those 2 years. And what happened was they were supposed to start that contract the week after I left for surgery, and it got delayed till July, and then it got delayed till August, and then he received notification, not delayed till August, but, like, they basically did the equivalent of, like, business catfishing, of making him think he was going to get it and then eventually just canceling the contract altogether.
Yeah, I've seen
a
lot of that before.
I don't know how long ago he found it out. And my boss is legitimately one of the nicest guys in the world, so I don't think it was intentional.
No.
But, like, it's just kind of one of those things where, because it happened at the end of 6 weeks of no pay, like, I'm stretched thin on cash already. I was counting on going back to work. So it's just, like, it's this perfect storm of terrible circumstances.
Yeah.
That made this. And if I hadn't been on leave for SRS, I would have an extra 6 weeks of pay now. Which would be really nice.
Yeah.
But, like, it happened. It sucks. So that's been my day today. It's unexpected. On the upside, I had more time to play WoW. On the downside, I was expecting the hardest thing for me to do today was decide what character to boost to level 110.
Right.
After buying Battle for Azeroth, not what's
job
happening
hunting,
now.
Applying for all these things. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Haven't actually started applying. I haven't been in the right headspace to write out resumes
and stuff.
It's
almost like you
tomorrow.
Got fired today or laid off today, and it really, really sucks. So
yeah.
I think that's a little understandable.
I mean, on the upside, like, on the upside, this is a chance for me to try and find work in an area that isn't
what you do,
like that I will enjoy more. I don't know if I actually can, because I don't know if I have the qualifications yet. But I'm gonna dig around and not commit too hard to like stuff that I've done in the past.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how stuff goes.
All right.
Yeah, that was my first story. That was my depressing one. Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah. Aaron will have to be the ray of light here, because all of mine suck.
And I've got two today, but at least two I want to focus on, and they're both good. So,
yay.
This next one has been a huge relief for me.
Yay!
With the way things have gone with my family and who I need to be out to, there's things to consider, like safety concerns for certain members of the family, safety concerns for me. There are just a whole slew of things that needed to be taken into consideration, and there was a lot of stress. I was getting a lot of pressure from other family. I felt pressure from myself. But finally, last night around midnight, I think it was exactly around midnight, I put in my last coming out letter, physical letter for my entire family, so that everybody has all of this in their brain and staring around at my family. And outside of that, okay, so we'll just focus on that right now. That huge weight of having all of that gone, or that relief of having that gone, is just, I slept probably better than I have in weeks. I was a little nervous that they wouldn't get it. In fact, this morning I got a message saying, what letter? And then like 2 minutes later they found it in the mail, and then I have not responded yet because I don't want to handle that. But they, I directed them to contact another family member of mine who's let me know that not only was my grandparents' reaction good, it was actually like incredibly positive. And they even, if I understood them right, they even started using my correct pronouns when they started referring to me.
Wow.
At least just once in a message, probably. They are like in their 70s and are already having better reactions than some of the people that I've told in their 20s.
That's amazing, because you were so worried about them.
Yes. I was.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And that is just my grandmother. They are not telling my grandfather just yet. There's lots of things to go into play there, including her safety and his. And so, but they've told me that is completely up to my dad and my grandmother. They've kind of been their own little thing since I was a kid anyway, and haven't had much contact outside of holidays, so I'm letting them take their time to tell him, and I'm okay with that, and it's all good. And
that's really good.
I got this message. She texted me, even, saying, I still love you, I'm here for you, however you need, and, you know, all sorts of kind stuff. And I don't know where this is coming from outside of my last little bit, was something along the lines of, I still love you both as my grandparents, maybe you can still love me as your grandchild. And I think that may have gotten to her a little bit. So if this is not instant acceptance, that's probably inspired from there, which shows me that they at least want to try, which is very, very good. And I'm very excited about that.
That's really good. Because that is up there among the best reactions from your family, I think. Of, yep. Like, just immediate mm-hmm. support, which is awesome, because you were worried about them the most.
I was. I think. And I'm still worried about how my grandfather will react, but that's going to be negative. I probably could have told him I was eating ice cream on the 11th, and it would have been negative. So it's going to be one of those things that they have to handle, that is not my responsibility right now, and that makes me very, very happy, is that, like, the people who need it and can take care of it have it, and it's not me.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. That's amazing. I'm so happy it went well.
So that was my first little short story. My chair is all squeaky again.
The squeakiest.
Tell us about what your other little tale this week is.
Yeah, so I guess, like, the more I think about it, like, this was both positive and negative. It wasn't as negative as I thought. The first one was, like, the worst. But I had my 6-week checkup for SRS. So like it started out really positive. I flew down there. This is where our troubles begin. I flew down there and getting down there kind of sucked. So my second flight took off late. My connecting flight was through Miami International. And if you've never been through Miami International, it's a fucking ridiculous airport. And by fucking ridiculous, I mean it's too fucking big.
It's an international airport.
Well, I've been in other international airports, and this one's just stupid.
They're all stupid big, and yeah, I don't even want to see whatever that one looks like.
Yeah. So I landed. I had a delay. The plane took off a little late, but I still, when we landed in Miami, I had 50 minutes to get from my previous flight to my next one. I get off the flight. It was a 3-hour flight. So I get off and I go to use the restroom before getting there. So I take a 10-minute bathroom break and I got 40 minutes to get to my next plane. I was in E terminal. My next plane was in D terminal. Okay. To get from E terminal to the main hub, because Miami is laid out like spokes, basically. So each terminal connects to like a walkway that gets you to all the terminals. To get from E terminal to the main hub, you had to take a tram, which ran through open air. You literally can't walk from E terminal to the connection walk. So I take the tram, which I have to wait 3 minutes on the tram, and then it's a 3-minute ride on the tram. So that's only 6 minutes. I spent the next 34 minutes walking down the hallway and then walking from where the hallway connected to D terminal to my flight. Literally 36 solid minutes of walking. If I had gotten there 5 minutes later, they would have shut the doors on me. By the time I got there, I was in group 9 for loading and they were loading group 7.
That's insane. Oh my gosh.
It was awful. That connecting flight was terrible. The flight itself went fine. I got down there. We landed a little later than I thought, and I landed in Philadelphia International and then had to drive to New Hope, Pennsylvania, which is an hour drive. I landed at 12:30, or 12:15, which was on time, but we got delayed taxiing, so I didn't get off the flight till 12:45. I was supposed to pick up my rental car at 12:30, which it didn't matter when I picked up my rental car. I just couldn't pick it up before 12:30, which wasn't an issue.
Right.
But I didn't pick it up until 1:55 because I had to get off the plane, get to where the shuttles ran to the rental car. I had to wait on the shuttle, take the shuttle, go get my car. And so by the time I was in my car and driving, it was 1:55 in the morning, which meant I was not getting to my hotel until 3 in the morning. Which was frustrating, but like ultimately it all worked out. I had to call the hotel ahead because their check-in closed at 2 in the morning. So I just had to call and say like, hey, I'm going to be late. And they extended it till I got there. So that worked out. And it sucked because like I had to get there and then dilate, which was fine. Which is actually a thing I'm going to talk about shortly.
What time was your appointment in the next morning?
So my appointment wasn't till noon. So everything worked out okay. I fell asleep at 5. I got up at 11. So I got 6 hours of sleep. Yeah. Appointment was at noon. Appointment went fine. I'm actually doing a lot better than I thought I was. Everything looked fine. I'm kind of ahead of schedule. My scars are healing up just fine, which is surprising. I've gotten to the point now where my vagina looks like a vagina to me because it's healed enough. It didn't look like that at first when I got the surgery because it hadn't, it was still like swollen and stuff, but now we're at the point where it's like everything looks normal and it's just got to finish kind of healing up, which is great. That's been the best thing. Just like, it is such a relief to have that gone that I didn't even realize how much it weighed on me in terms of like on my mind and dysphoria.
What gone?
Penis.
Okay, I thought you were talking something specifically about the checkup, maybe a worry you had.
No, to have the my dick. Penis gone. Like, just to have it gone and replaced with a vagina. Like, being able to put on panties and just have them fit. And I don't have to, like, worry if my tuck slipped or anything like that. Like, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry if I get aroused that everyone, like, instantly knows what's going on. like earlier today, I've been cleared to exercise again, so I can return to all of my normal activities except for sex, horseback riding, bicycling, swimming in a lake, or sitting in a hot tub.
You those know, five your normal everyday do. Activities that Athena goes through every single day and is on schedule absolutely. Every 5 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. But, like, I can return to my normal exercise. So I was exercising today, and, like, there was nothing swaying down there. It wasn't uncomfortable. Like, I could move freely. And it just, like, it just felt so much better. The top surgery has been equally, like, dysphoria relieving. Like, it's so nice to be able to put on clothes and not have to worry about if my breast forms are going to slip and people are going to see them.
Yeah.
It's so, so nice to have actual cleavage that is my cleavage. It's so nice to, like, being... to wear pajamas and I feel like a woman in pajamas. Whereas in the past it was like my face passes in pajamas, but I'm not wearing breast forms and you can see that I have junk. And I was like, I didn't feel like a woman just laying around the house. Nowadays I do. Just also, real talk, masturbation so much better. Like, just gonna throw that out there. It is such a relief to be able to do that and it not constantly remind you that you are trans.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So it also feels way different, which is surprising. I did not expect it to feel as different as it did. Yeah.
We'll need an episode on that later, huh?
We good. So just in general, like, that has been something surprising. It's just how much the dysphoria has been relieved, especially now that it's starting to look like a vagina and, like, my breast implants have settled now. They were a little high, which is normal for breast implants now. They're kind of where they're supposed to be.
Now, and so everything
feels well, they were always boobalicious. Now they're just boobalicious at the right height.
There you go, the correct amplitude of boobaliciousness.
Exactly. The yes. So that's been something really nice. One of the thing that's been frustrating, which I kind of hinted at, is dilating, actually. And actually it's shocking how much taking out one dilation a day changed stuff. Pre the 6 week checkup, I was doing 4 times a day, but I was doing well enough at the 6 week checkup that they switched me down to 3 times a day. And it's amazing how much time that frees up. Like, you only spend an hour dilating, realistically, because it's 30 minutes with the dilators. It takes roughly 2 minutes to switch between dilators, and then you have to clean them. So overall, it works out to be, you know, 45 minutes to an hour that you're committing to dilate. And so realistically, it's like going from 4 hours of dilation to 3 hours of dilation isn't that big of a difference. The big difference is the amount of time I have between dilations. I've gone from having to do one every 4 hours to I can do them like every 6 hours. And that's the difference between, and actually, like, I could even, if I wanted to, I could space them out differently and do like 9 hours between and then like 3 hours between if I wanted to structure it that way. And what's nice about that is now it's like I have an entire working day between dilations, basically.
Yeah.
And so just the it, even though it hasn't gone down that much, it's been a huge kind of load off my shoulders to feel like I have time back in the day, which is, with 4 dilations a day, you kind of feel like you're dilating and then occasionally doing other stuff,
right?
Like the because once, basically, you have to shower every day to clean the inside of the vagina post-surgery, and which I showered every day anyways, but I never cleaned a vagina before.
Right.
So, but, like, basically, whatever dilation you chose to do that after, you basically were like, okay, so it's an hour to dilate, it's 30 minutes to shower, dry off, get dressed. Well, now I only have an hour before I have to dilate again. So, whoop-de-doo, what the fuck do I do in an hour?
Yeah, I can imagine that, because you have to be at home, or at least in a place you can lie down, you have to have all the supplies, you have to all of that ready, and that means that you have to plan your day, so your travel time has to incorporate travel to home, preparatory time, and then the actual dilation, and then cleanup, because, like, that's not just, like, an hour of the day, that could very well be two per dilation.
And... yeah, and so, like, and also it means, like, if I want to do something, I can only commit 4 hours at a time to whatever I'm doing, because I then have to do my next dilation. And so switching down to 3 has been a surprising relief. And so that's been another kind of positive thing, that I wasn't expecting to be quite as positive as it was. But yeah, I was very surprised how much dilation kind of changed my daily schedule and how I felt about my daily schedule. So with that out of the way, the thing that sucked on my 6-week checkup trip is on Friday, there was a horrible storm that went through Pennsylvania and other areas. And so my flight got canceled. The airline I was originally scheduled on didn't have a flight that would leave until Monday. Today. So what would have been today. Yeah. But I couldn't do that because I'd packed super light. I only brought one bag. I brought exactly enough clothes for the length of my trip. Because I was flying, I didn't bring any lube, which is required when you dilate. So I didn't bring any stuff. So basically it was like, I have to get out of Philadelphia because I don't have anything to do the stuff I need to do, namely dilating. And so what happened was I picked up another flight from Delta, but that flight got delayed by 5 hours. So what ended up happening is I didn't fly out of Philadelphia until 11 that night. And I was supposed to be home in Indiana at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so I could do all my dilations and stuff. Wow. And I didn't even leave Philadelphia until 11. And then the flight that I ended up taking, the original flight was scheduled to be a nonstop. This one had a delay or had a layover. And because the flight was delayed by 5 hours, by the time my flight took off, the connecting flight I was supposed to catch had also taken off in Detroit. Mm. And so I landed in Detroit Airport and was stuck there overnight. So I was supposed to get home at 4 in the afternoon on Friday. I got home at 2 in the afternoon on Saturday. So I basically missed an entire day's worth of dilations. Oh my Luckily, gosh. It ended up working out. That would have been horrible if it had happened a week after surgery or 2 weeks after surgery, like when I started dilating. Luckily, I was far enough along dilation that it wasn't even that serious. I didn't even notice with my first dilation that after I got back, that stuff was much tighter. So everything ended up working out. That's okay. But it's when you're traveling, like if it hadn't been for the dilation issue, that actually wasn't that bad. The flying and getting stuck in an airport, Detroit International is shockingly nice. It's the nicest airport I've ever been in. The store selection is insanely good, and just overall, like, it is the first airport that I've been in that I would describe as swanky.
Didn't they have a Qdoba?
They had a Qdoba, and it was so good. So good. I only got 3 hours of sleep, but I got to wake up to a Qdoba.
Where did you sleep? Burritos, so. What did you sleep in, I should say?
I slept on a bench in a bar.
Okay.
I was given a blanket. I used my seat cushion that I sit on to avoid putting pressure on my vagina as my pillow. It's not a very good pillow because it has a hole in the middle. It's shaped like a donut.
It'll really hold your head in place.
Yeah. An airport employee was nice enough to give me a blanket.
Aww.
So luckily, and sleeping on a bench meant I could lay flat on my back, but I only slept for 3 hours because I woke up horribly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I was cold because even though I had a blanket, airports are always cold. But overall, it actually wasn't that bad. Aside from the whole 3 hours of sleep thing, I had my Nintendo Switch with me. I had my laptop. I had my phone. So I could literally sit at a table, set my laptop up, watch Twitch streams and play on my Switch exactly like I would have been doing if I was at home. So it wasn't that bad. The problem was that stress over knowing I needed to dilate and feeling like every minute that I didn't was going to cause serious side effects. That was an added stress that if I weren't trans and post SRS or, 6 weeks post SRS wouldn't have been an issue. Right. And so that whole trip just ended up being more stressful because of that added pressure when it wouldn't have been otherwise. Like, as great as SRS has been, that was one time where I was like, this sucks.
If you're brave enough, you could have dilated right there. Just go right at it.
Yes.
No lubrication, just full.
God, no. No, 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 no. No. No.
I'm hearing a no.
Yes.
Now I'm hearing a yes. Many no. Make up your mind.
You know what I mean.
There's a no again. I'm just persecuted. Am I the only one? All right. Well, I'm sorry your flight was like this literal nightmare. I don't know how much you guys know about me. I hate the idea of missing flights or flights being delayed or canceled.
Same. I hate
like, I was having panic attacks for her as she was texting me, hey, I can't record on Sunday. We're going to have to do this. I was like, okay. And then we got the update and I was like, holy crap. Like, I could not handle anything close to that.
Yeah. Originally, we were going to record this episode after I got back on Friday.
Yeah.
And then have it posted over the weekend. That way, like, even though we missed last week, we'd still have an episode going up that week. And then we'd post our regular episode on Tuesday. But, like, that ended up not happening because I was stuck in an airport.
They're no fault of your own.
I was literally in an airport for a total of 24 hours. Like, in one airport or another, I was in it for 24 hours.
So insane.
It was dumb.
Oh, my gosh.
Although there was a funny story that came out of that, which I thought was hilarious, which is another thing that is only because I was post SRS that it happened. So this didn't happen in Indianapolis International. They didn't care. I got through security in literally 5 minutes. No problem whatsoever. I go through security and because my flight got canceled, I was originally flying on Frontier Airlines. Basically, like, my phone was dying, and there weren't any good outlets available, because people were trying to, like, find flights. So, basically, my best bet to get a flight was to go back through security, come back out of the terminal, and go down to ticketing counters, and try and find a new flight that way by just physically talking to a person. And so, what that meant was I went through security twice that day. So the first time I went through security, I go through and again, Indianapolis International, problems whatsoever. Go through Philadelphia security. My bag gets pulled aside for special inspection. And I'm like, well, whatever. Who cares? It'll be fine. I don't have much in my bag. This won't take long. So this very nice looking man, probably in his 30s, a little portly, nice guy, a little short, great looking, like friendly looking man. The kind of man you see and you're like, that guy is just nice. That kind of guy. He's got my bag. He pulls me over and he's like, hey, I got to go through your bag. It was pulled aside for special inspection. Is there anything breakable in here that I should be worried about? And I told him, like, just a hand mirror, because I have to bring a hand mirror with me so I can see what I'm doing when I'm dilating. And he's looking for an object. And he pulls out my dilators. And he's like, this object, we don't know what it is. It was a suspicious object, and he starts to open the... Because I have these little, like, cloth pouches that they sit in, and I have three of them. So there's this nice little cloth pouch that they come in for transport, and so he's unwrapping the cloth pouch and opening them. And he looks at them, and he's like, what are these? And I'm like, those are vaginal dilators. And he just looks at me, and his eyes go wide. I have never seen a man put something back in a bag that fast. Like, he literally was just like, oh, okay. And he put them in and was like, here you go. Have a nice day. Carry on. It was the fastest exchange ever. It was hilarious. And then the second time I went through, there was this very serious lady. It was less funny, but, like, my bag got pulled aside for special inspection. I was like, I bet money it's my dilators. And she was like, that's what these are. Yep, that's what caused it.
That's so...
But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Funny. It was great. Like, two people had to know I had vaginal dilators that day.
Just wear them as a necklace next time. It'll save you time.
They actually said, like, next time you go through security, just pull them out.
Okay. Just get my vaginal insertables, like, collection out here for on display. I've got a nice little fairy light.
Well,
set
since
up.
They're in these like nice, they're in these like purple cloth pouches. Unless you open the cloth pouch, you cannot tell what they are. So, like, it's fine. But it's
don't
just
a little scanner thing.
It's
so
funny.
Go, oh, that's dick shaped or something. Like, you know.
I don't know.
Apparently, I don't know. I'm not a vaginal dilators person. So,
yeah, apparently vaginal dilators. Well, specifically, they were like, these items aren't in our database, so we don't know what they are. And I'm like, yeah, because I bet not too many people come through with dilators. Just, woo. Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of my, that's been my past week.
Yeah,
it sucked.
That sounds like it sucked.
My checkup was great, though. Like, that was nice. Like, my checkup has made me feel a lot better about recovering because there were some things that were going on downstairs that I was a little worried about. That, like, at my checkup, they were like, no, this is fine. This is totally normal. No problem whatsoever. It was nice. It was very relieving. So, I feel great about my vagina. I love my vagina. Two thumbs up. Would recommend a vagina.
All right. That's so awesome. I'm really glad to hear that there was some fun and positive things, at least in hindsight, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, what's your last story?
This one is a really big one for me, and I'm very, very excited. I'm checking it right now, actually, to see what some reactions are. So, like I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, that I have been waiting for my family to know before I tell, essentially, the world. I have had a Facebook account for the past 11 years. If you are doing the calculations in your head, my sister used a fake college email back when it required you have a college email and hooked me up with a Facebook account right as that kind of thing, you know, happened, right as that change went from being a totally Harvard private thing to being college specific. She hooked me up with that, and I've been changing it throughout the years. And 11 years is a lot of life, you know, especially online. That was me, I think, even, like, either right when I was getting into high school or even before it. But 11 years of my life was online in that. And so I have, I think, 500 whatever friends, people that I've met at some event or whatever. But since my family knows, they are very active on social media, much more than I have ever been. There's probably, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of the dysphoria is probably the reason I never posted much, because a lot of the things people post are like pictures of themselves and what they do and what they like. And I imagine dysphoria kind of kept me from that for one reason or another. I'm really excited about it now. But I wrote a 6,600 word coming out Facebook post. And I submitted it exactly 2.5 hours ago from this time of recording. And that entire reaction to how it's been, it's been amazing. I have people that I haven't talked to in literally 10 years who are writing me messages saying, hey, I know we haven't talked much. I know we only kind of knew each other from this one thing. But I just want to let you know that I'm proud of you. I love you. And I'm really, really happy to see you transition. And then I see people that I knew in high school, like so for those who don't know, I play the cello. I play pretty damn well, if I do say so myself. And me and a group of girls in high school, my junior or senior year, whatever, we went to state. Actually, it happened twice, so it was junior and senior year, with these same girls, now that I think about it. We went to state, and we got, you know, we were pretty good friends, but we kind of fell out after college because she went somewhere, I went somewhere, whatever. But she saw that and reconnected with me and sent me another, you know, I'm so happy. I really want to go ahead and see if we can start meeting up again. And do it. It was really nice. Oh, just punched my mic. But it's been overwhelmingly positive. What I did is I set up a secondary Facebook account because I'm somebody who really likes to keep the past somewhat, at least accessible. So, if not for me, other people. I originally wanted to erase everything, just wipe it off the face of the earth and say, okay, I'm done. And then I had another friend who was like, you really want to do that? That's 11 years of you posting status updates and watching you grow and change and watching you figure yourself out. You know, that's 11 years of that. And I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know what? You're right. I don't want to get rid of that because I am sentimental about stuff like that. So I have my other Facebook account. I set it up exactly how I needed. I went out and did my absolute damnedest to take a selfie that did not look like a fucking selfie.
It was gorgeous.
Thank you.
It's the best selfie I've ever seen because it looks like you had another photographer.
I tried to make it look like a real profile, like a resume profile, you know. But the issue is, okay, so this is a minor story in and of itself. I went to go take it today, and I live close to a park. I went down to the park. I found some trees. I was like, that's a great background. And I got my stuff. I set it up. And the wind was like 20 mile an hour gusts, and it was never stopping. It was like, it would slow down a little bit so you can maybe have a chance at a little windblown look. But I tried to get the angle set up and all that. And in the process, I finally got something set up and the wind wouldn't quit. So I was taking pictures and it was just blowing my hair in my face and looking real ugly. And then when it finally calmed down, these dudes in like a blue charger whipped around in their parking lot and started driving alongside and doing real slow blasting music. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I packed up my stuff and went home and then took it in my apartment complex, which is really pretty. Like, just saying, my apartment complex does a bang-up job on their landscaping. And I had to frame that with one hand as I try to do this like little professional pose, and I have like 50 versions where it's all like blurry, or my hair's in my face, or you can see my thumb or something. And anyway, I posted the photo onto that account specifically because there's some people who I am aware are not ready to see a photo of me. That's a thing. I don't know. I don't get it personally, but that's a thing. So out of courtesy, I was like, if they want to see it, they can friend me. And that's kind of how I'm weeding out those who I know are going to be problematic. I don't want to unfriend people. In a sense, I don't have to go through my 11 years of Facebook friends and go like, this person doesn't like me now, this person is saying awful things. It's just so much easier to say, if you want to, you know, stay in my little social media life or whatever, come friend me and we can talk. And that's been a really, really positive experience. I've been refreshing and getting some people that I haven't talked to in a long time that I thought, like, forgot we were friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, there's just so much positivity. There's actually been no negativity. And I think most people are taking that route of, if I'm going to be negative, I'm not going to say anything about it. And I think that's the way that they're kind of going about things.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that has been.
That's so awesome.
I am
Yeah, which is amazing. I'm so happy you're finally like out everywhere. It's so awesome.
I'm and also like, out. Oh my god.
Yep. Forever. There's no going back. You're just Aaron now.
Gosh.
Forever and ever.
It is such a damn relief. Oh my god.
It's amazing. I thumbed through some of the responses and I was like, I'm so glad they're this positive. Because I saw the post and was like, I have to know. And then I reacted with love. And also I reacted to your picture with a wow. With a wow. But yeah, no, I am very happy that it went that positive. It's interesting that you've been reconnecting with old people, that you haven't talked to in a while, because the same thing happened with my Facebook.
Hey.
In fact, I had dinner with a friend yesterday. We ended up talking for 3 hours during that dinner and just like catching up because we hadn't talked since high school. And I reconnected with him initially when I came out on Facebook.
That's amazing.
And then we finally caught up and actually had dinner and sat down. Now we're planning out. We're going to try and have a board game night with some of his friends.
That sounds awesome. I hope I can do that with some of these people, because I really, you know, you become an adult. You disconnect from a few of your old friends as life kind of goes on. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting, because, like, a lot of the people I have in my life now, I've grown closer to because of coming out as trans and like living honestly. And so like there are people who are going to walk away from you because of this, because, you know, being trans is a controversial thing. Especially, but the people who stick around are going to know you a lot better.
Especially in my state.
Yeah. But the people who stick around, like, I feel a lot closer to those people, and I feel like I know them a lot better and that they know me a lot better, and we share a much deeper connection now. And so in a lot of ways my transition has brought me closer to people that I kind of always wanted to know better. So it can be positive socially as well, which is the thing that I think a lot of us often dread and expect the worst, and then are surprised when good things happen And so I think it's good to know that it can be a very positive thing.
I just want to do this. I have a cousin who lives away from here who I guess just saw the post. She just texted me, "I love you. Also, when I'm famous and thus have money, can I hire you to be my stylist?"
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Sorry, I literally just got that as I was checking for updates, but...
That's awesome.
All right, so...
I am so glad it went so well.
I'm so happy. Oh, there's one thing I wanted to say before finishing that up. And it was something about what you were saying about being accepting some positives. Whenever people are talking about marriage proposals and things, it's not a tradition to, like, ask for the father's permission down here. But there has been something that has been circulating in feeds about asking blessing, and he goes, "Well, I don't understand why people still do this, you know." And what, to an extent, I understand. But one of the positive takes that I have seen on it, this is not a stance on this, this is relevant, I swear to God, is that we are not asking for his permission to marry his daughter, we are inviting him to become part of our family too. And I feel like that's kind of what my way of doing this is. The Facebook post is that I am not asking for your permission to do anything with this. I am asking for you to come along with me. And that's what that little Facebook post is them saying, if you want to be here with me, hit that little friend button on this little name right here, and we can go together. And it's, I like that idea of inviting somebody along with you on an adventure rather than, you know, this power play of asking for permission. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that perspective a lot. That's a good way to look at it. That's awesome. I'm so happy. You're done. You're out to everyone. You never have to tell somebody. You never have to come out to anyone again. It's done.
I had a chimichanga in Victory.
Victory chimichanga. Deadpool would approve.
I have loved chimmy since I was a kid. My great aunt first took me to a place called Santa Fe. I think it's a chain restaurant, and I wonder where it's from. I'm going to laugh if it's actually not from Santa Fe.
I would be so happy if it came from, like, some small town in, like fucking North Carolina. Like, not even in Texas.
Santa Fe's in New Mexico. Like, let's see. But I remember explicitly, I was, like, 4 or 5 years old, and we were celebrating something for one of my great aunts, who, I love my great aunt. But it was, like, a birthday party, and they said, Aaron, do you want a chimmy? And I was a kid, so I didn't know what that was. It was a fun sounding word. I was like, I want a chimmy. And then they got me, like, they thought it was a kid's one. It was an adult one, like the size of my forearm, you know? I fucking devoured that thing. and because it comes, like, slathered in queso and peppers and just deliciousness. Yeah. And I destroyed it as a little four-year-old or five-year-old. And I have been completely demolishing them ever since. Santa Fe restaurant origins. I am finding this. We're getting the origin story on Santa Fe here.
We're getting this for you live. Aaron bringing the scoop on Santa Fe. We go to her now, live from the studio.
What we have here are some spelling errors in our search. dang it. I don't think I can find it right now. So I am challenging our viewers. Go find me where Santa Fe's, the chain restaurant specifically, has originated from. And if it's Santa Fe, it's whatever, but I swear I want to know if this is one of those, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken things where it's, like, made anywhere but the state. I don't even know if KFC's like that.
I'm gonna be so happy if it's not. Anyway, with that, I think that's everything we wanted to talk about. Is there anything you wanted to say before we move on to our really silly thing, Aaron?
This has been amazing. And I'm excited.
I'm so excited for you.
All right. Tell us about a really silly thing. What are you talking about?
So our really silly thing this week is another video game. It is Elder Scrolls Online. We're doing it this week. We were going to do it last week because when we thought we were going to be able to release an episode last week. But I just got Aaron into it because it was on sale as part of the Green Man Gaming
$4.
Sale. $4.57.
Like, whatever.
It's nuts. Yeah. But how I've played a lot of Elder Scrolls Online. I have a lot of opinions on it. I think I've played over 200 hours on two different characters. So, which granted, for an MMO isn't a lot, but whatever. Shush you. Aaron, what's been your experience with it? Because we played together some of it.
So, that was English. It has been so fun. It starts you out in a different starting zone, I guess. But, like, you start off similar to Divinity Original Sin, actually, with, like, this little boat crash thing. I think they even make you find a thief there, too, or something. But you play through your little tutorial level, and I swear, this thing is almost identical to having Skyrim. Like, it's been so freaking fun. I think the level grinding and reward system is much more engaging than Skyrim was. You don't, like, crouch for 900 miles as you level up your sneak or whatever. You actively feel like you're working on stuff. I always love playing mages, whatever game we are in, with the exception usually being Elder Scrolls, because sometimes their mage systems suck. That was my experience with Skyrim, as it took me a long time to really like it. But with Elder Scrolls Online, I'm playing a mage, and it is so freaking fun, and it actually feels like you're able to have a viable alternative to being this huge hulking sword swinging brute or like a rogue or something. Like, it makes the magic system actually fun and workable even for a level one. So the environments are just freaking beautiful. It's so fun to get to play with your friends, and the quest lines, didn't you say they're all like fully voiced?
Yes, every single quest in the game is voiced. Every single NPC you can talk to has voice lines. Every character, everybody has voice lines, and all the quests are fully voiced.
It's such quality work, and I almost feel bad getting it for as cheap as I did. From what I've played right now, if you have the available money and are looking for a good MMO, for those who don't know, I love playing World of Warcraft. And the only reason I don't play it right now is that financially I can't afford a monthly subscription. And I can't afford the big price of that, well, whatever bargain, quote-unquote, deal is. But this scratches that itch really, really well. Maybe not so great on the first few levels, but then again, I'm only, like, level 8. So I don't think that's a fair way for me to compare that.
It gets better. The game's combat system really opens up when you get the ability to switch weapons. Because then you get an entire second hotbar of abilities. I'm going to, as someone who's played 200 hours on it, I'm going to give like some pros and cons of it. The biggest advantage that it has is that if you don't like MMOs, but you like Elder Scrolls games, you will like Elder Scrolls Online. You can play that game as a solo single player RPG, and you will have hundreds of hours of content at your fingertips. They did an update called Tamriel Online, or One Tamriel, sorry, where basically it got to the point where you could just go to any zone. It used to be the zones had level restrictions, and so it was kind of like World of Warcraft, where you had to follow a set path in the zones, and you had to go from like this zone first, and then this zone, and then that one. But with that update, they made it that you could go to any zone whenever you wanted, you could do the storyline in whatever order you wanted, and you could just explore. And so now the game just has this sense that I can go wherever I want, I can do whatever I want, I can pursue whatever objective I want to set. If I want to go in and say, like, I'm going to finish off the storyline in Morrowind today, you can pursue that goal. It won't take you a day, just saying, but you could do it. Or you could say, like, you know what, I'm just going to not do any quests today, I'm just going to go hunt for sky shards or lore books or different collectibles or whatever it is that you're looking for. And all the while playing combat, through everything you're doing, you're leveling up your character both in their actual level, which unlocks ability points and skill points, and you're also leveling up their individual skill lines, because even though this is an MMO, every class can pick up every weapon, it can pick up any type of armor, it can use any skill line you encounter. The only difference the class gives you is it gives you 3 unique skill lines that are unique to that class. And so if you want to be a character who wields a greatsword with heavy armor, and you want to have the ability to blast lightning bolts at people, you can play the mage class as a heavy two-handed with which, armor.
Who doesn't want to wield a giant sword and also shoot lightning?
I know, right? So it's just like there's so many options. And so if you aren't a person who likes MMOs, but you love single-player RPGs, you will love Elder Scrolls Online. if you are a player who loves MMOs but are tired of playing the same class as everyone else, if you miss talent trees from World of Warcraft, if you miss the ability to feel like the character is your character, you will love Elder Scrolls Online. The ability to do whatever you want, build whatever character you want, and have it be viable will make your mind go crazy with the number of possibilities. There are thousands of viable builds available to you. If you are someone who loves PvP content, the entire zone of Cyrodiil, which is the entire setting of Elder Scrolls Oblivion, is one giant PvP zone that also has quests in it. You can PvE while PvPing. You can do both at the same time. There's quests, there's lore to uncover in Cyrodiil. You're fighting to get Molag, to wrest Cyrodiil away from the control of Molag Bal, as well as trying to, like, crown the leader of your faction emperor, which, by the way, the leader of your faction is whichever player has the highest score. So if you are really good at PvP, you could become emperor. Just in general, the PvE content that's there, you've got dungeons, you've got raids, that kind of stuff. If you like the combat system, there is so much content here to offer. I think the only major con is the combat system, when you get to high levels, does feel a little spammy. There's a lot less tactics than there is in a game like WoW, where you really have to think about what you're doing and execute your abilities in the correct order. ESO is much more forgiving in that aspect. So if you really kind of crave that intense combat and that intense requirement of knowing your character's, like, ability set in and out, some of that's missing in ESO, but the rest of it more than makes up of it. And on top of that, you just have to buy the base game. For $20, you get the base game and the first expansion, and you never have to spend another dime on the game. There's no subscription fee. You can play for as long as you want, as much as you want, whenever you want. It's a phenomenal game. The amount of content you get for $20 is unbeatable. There is so much there. I've spent 200 hours and I've only played through one faction storyline. I haven't beaten either of the main DLCs or any of the 12 small DLCs. And like I said, I've only beaten one of the three faction storylines, and I haven't even played the quests in Cyrodiil. And that's 200 hours spent in the game. It's insane how much there is there. I can't recommend it enough. You'll have a great time. Not to mention the fact that, at the very least, if you've ever wanted to play Skyrim in co-op, now you fucking can.
That's not actually Skyrim, but it's close. It is a very, very good game to be playing with friends or solo. I mean, I'm usually a solo player anyway. The most multiplayer I get is, like, Rocket League or Fortnite. So yeah. This is super fun.
Yeah. Super worth it. Can't recommend it enough. There's a reason I've played 200 hours of it.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Aaron?
I love our trans siblings.
Oh, I love our trans siblings, too. So with that, this has been Transistor Radio, a Story Thus Far Network podcast. If you have topics you'd like us to talk about, please send us an email at staff@storythusfar.com with TSR or Transistor Radio in the subject line. You can also send us a tweet at our Twitter page, which is @StoryThusFar, or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StoryThusFar. And if you're like me and can't remember anything for more than 30 seconds, you can just head to www.storythusfar.com and find everything I just mentioned and even more great content. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transistor Radio. We'll catch up with you next time, but for now, it's time for us to end transmission.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody.
Ooh. He just coughed up a fucking hairball into the mic.
We're doing it. Okay, we're doing it.
We're doing it live. Well, not live because it's a recording, but whatever, you know.
Whatever. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Transistor Radio. You're laughing is making me laugh.
I'm sorry, I'll stop. There will be no laughter here.
No fun time allowed.
Only serious. Take three. You can do it. I can't keep a straight face for long. I'm peeking my mic so bad.
to try to make you laugh. I heard those giggles in there. Don't you lie to me. I'm hitting stop in 3, 2, 1.